Introduce our women's ministry director, Karen Porchot. Karen, she's going to come up and I'm going to tell you a couple of things about her. Karen and her husband have been married for 32 years. Before, during, and after children, there's a lot of career in here. She was an elementary school music teacher and a piano teacher, and then a praise team coordinator, also a volunteer teaching director at the community Bible study, which was in Traders Point. Made at Traders Point. Okay. And now she is our director of women's ministry, and we are so blessed to have her. If you haven't heard her speak before, you are in for a real treat today. She has children. Katie is 29. John is 27 and married to Caitlin. And then Stephen is 26 and married to Lauren. And we asked, like always, which of her children is most like her and why. And she said she sees a bit of herself in each of her children, that all of them love story, whether it's spoken, read, watched, like movies. They love exploring themes and deep topics and long discussions, playing games, board games, to escape rooms, and seeing who can make the best pun. So if you want a little humor, it sounds like you can be in her family. When you're most tired during the day, what do? She tries to take a nap, and if that isn't an option, then she'll open a Diet Coke. In keeping with our theme, run with endurance, what's your favorite way to exercise? And Karen likes walking. She loves to walk in her neighborhood and nearby Eagle Creek Park. And then every vacation always includes hiking and long walks. Wearing a Fitbit helps her keep track of her steps during the day and her routine at work. And then her favorite way to relax is some hot tea and some historic novel or a British drama. So please welcome Karen.
But anyway, I want y'all to know that this part of women's ministry here at College Park, I am.
Yeah, maybe I just need to go up higher. Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now? I can talk really loud if I need to. Okay, can you hear me now? Maybe we're not screwed in right. Okay, now we're out. All right. So anyway, whenever I talk about this part of women's ministry, it is always with just a smile on my face. I think this is, I always call you, for some reason, I always use the word precious whenever I describe you guys, but it is a precious ministry. It's so well organized. You all get the time to not only connect with each other, but you are very purposeful in making sure that you're also lifting each other's faces up towards the Lord. And I just think that's exactly what we need to be doing for you. So anyway, before we begin, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this precious ministry, for exactly who you brought here in this place this morning. Lord, I thank you for each woman that has come, for the table leaders, the discussion group leaders, for those that are in the steering committee, for the co-coordinators, and Lord, for all of those precious mentor moms as well. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless this ministry and grow it so that we can be intentional about being wives and mothers during this very special time of our lives. And Lord, now as I speak, I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, oh God, may they be acceptable and pleasing to you this morning. For you, O Lord, are the one that we pray to. We love you. In your most holy and precious name, amen. Okay, so have any of you ever sat in front of an aquarium and just become kind of mesmerized? And you're just watching the bubbles and the different colors, and you see fish go in and out, and all the different little rocks and just how it works and what the creatures are doing in there. Sometimes there's more than fish, and you're just like looking at it. Well, that's exactly how I felt at my first Moms Connection meeting. I sat there and I watched you all, and it was just amazing to me. I hadn't been in a room with that many babies and baby bumps and nursing moms in a very, very long time. And I realized I was just sitting there with my mouth probably open, and I needed to get myself together and remind myself that I was like you all at one time, and it feels like a long time ago, and it was, but I had experienced those things too. And so I want to show you my family. This is us now. See John and Caitlin and Katie, and then Bob and I in the back, and then Stephen and Lauren. And by the way, do I have like screen in front of my face, or can you see? Okay, sometimes I'm in here and staring. All right. Well, anyway, this is my family now, but we didn't always look this way. This is bringing Katie home from the hospital after 23 hours of labor. Yes. And then not too long later, we had little John appear on the scene. And then within a blink, we had Stephen. And yes, he does have legs there. They're just kind of pulled up in his little suit. But I know that sometimes with you all, as your children come along, mothering isn't like just the most natural thing. And you have to lean into the Lord in order to kind of work through the bumps of parenting. But I had wanted to be a mom since I had my first baby doll. And I had spent, so many hours babysitting and then teaching little kids. And I was so ready to be a mom. And I loved almost every bit of it, except for those nights without any sleep and the tournaments of stomach flu and those kind of things that go on in your house. But I really loved it. So as I go back, and I had to think when they said parenting with a purpose, and what did we do that was purposeful, you know, as parents? I began to think about this. And before I go there, I want to introduce by saying this. We have a new Bible study starting up May 15th, May 16th, called She Knew Jesus. And each week is an encounter with a woman who knew Jesus through the Gospels. And you're going to get to meet that woman. And each week will be taught by a different woman, including Jill Wamsley, who is sitting right here. She's going to be one of our teachers and has been one of our writers in the study. But as I'm going through this, and I'm looking again at the life of Mary, mother of Jesus, one of the things it says about her in Luke 2:19 is this. It says, now this is after the angel has come, and actually after the shepherds have come, and Mary is there, and you can imagine all the thoughts going through in her mind, and she says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And isn't that something that we as mothers do? We either scrapbook or we're taking pictures all the time. I mean, it's so easy now with phones. You don't know what it was like to go get the Minolta to come out and take a picture, but really, having it right in your phone is wonderful. But even if we're just maybe journaling it or just taking that snapshot in your brain where you see your kids do something and you just think, I want to remember that. I want to remember that forever. And you lay those moments down in your heart. I know that dads, they have their own way too, but somehow moms spend time pondering those thoughts. Now that I'm an empty nester, I have spent days pondering what it was like when the kids were little. And I'll try to take a moment and go back to when they were 10, 8, and 7, or maybe they were 5, 3, and 2, or 3, 1, and a newborn, and just sit there and think about how their hair felt, or how they smelled, or what clothes they might have been wearing, or games they might have been playing, or what their voice sounded like back then. That's just something moms do. We ponder these things. Well, as my first pregnancy came about, I realized that prayer was going to be key to our parenting journey. It had taken a lot of prayer to get us to the point that we were pregnant in the first place. And so I knew how to lean into the Lord for that. But when you're pregnant, there's so many things to pray about, aren't there? So you're praying about the health of the baby. You may be praying about what the delivery is going to be like, especially the first one. You're not real sure what all that's going to be. But I also wanted to have a prayer that I prayed for the baby. And so I began looking through Scripture. What could I pray for this child that I knew was of the Lord because it comes straight from Scripture? And so in that same chapter in Luke 2, towards the end, in verse 52, there's a verse I want to go to, but what's funny is right before that verse, again, Luke says this about Mary, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And then it says, by the way, there's that verse. And then it says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. And so that began my prayer for my kids. Because that just kind of sums it all up. Think about it. Stature. Well, that's your physical health. We're all concerned about their physical health. Favor with God. Well, that's their spiritual health, their spiritual well-being. Wisdom. That's their mental, their character development. And then favor with man. That'd be their social well-being. And so I would pray for this as we were pregnant, and then as for each one of the children, as we purposed for them in their life and how we wanted them to go. So this is what I'm going to talk about. I don't have a whole list of this is what you need a purpose. I'm going to talk to you about prayer. And then I'm going to talk to you about what it was in my own life that could derail my prayers for my children. So parenting with a purpose. When you think about this and you look at it, we all want, it says wisdom, increase in wisdom. We all want our children to be wise. Did you know that the word wise just means to live life skillfully, to have skill in living? So yes, we all want our children to grow up to be law-abiding, to pay their taxes, to know how to get along in life, to be able to drive cars, to be able to apply for jobs. We want them to have skill in living and to do it with wisdom, to be discerning. We also want our children to what? Grow in stature. We want them to be healthy. So we watch what they eat. We're careful to make sure that they get sleep, and we take them to the doctor when they're sick. We purpose for our children to grow in favor with man. We want them to be able to pick and discern and surround themselves with good friends, to be able to succeed with kindness in their social circles. But ultimately, our greatest purpose is for them to know God and to grow in relationship with Him. Now, as a parent, we can talk about God, we can teach about the Bible, we can train them in spiritual matters, but when it comes down to it, we can't control whether they grow in favor with God. But we can pray about it. We can pray about it. So later, when my children were very young, my mother-in-law gave me the calendar that I set there on the table, or somebody sweet set that on the table for you, the handout I brought, that lists a character trait that you can purposely pray for your children each day of the month. And some of the things that are on there, I may not have thought about if I hadn't had something like this and really made it a purpose. I don't think whenever Katie was two that I would have prayed for her to have a sense of justice in the world. That probably wouldn't have been it. I probably would have been strong in the complaining and arguing part, but I probably not that. Or just perseverance or responsibility, or I loved this one on day 26 that you pray for a willingness and an ability to work hard when they got to be 5 and 6 and they got those chores around the house and all those kinds of things. But at the very first day of the month, you are to pray for their salvation. So the verse there that says, well, the prayer is, Lord, let salvation spring up within my children that they may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ while they are young. And then the verse above that that goes to that is Isaiah 45:8. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. Now, one thing my husband and I added to this whenever we were praying is while they are young. That's my personal request whenever it came to the children. And one thing that we did with those requests is I wrote out that calendar on these little index cards, and I would put at the top, say, kindness, and then I would list the prayer, and then the verse, and I wrote out the verse to that. And so then each day, I could pray that certain thing. Now I'm gonna pray about these every month, so if I missed a day, you miss a day, you just do the next day, because next month you'll probably get it. The other one that we added was, they didn't have a day 31, and some months do, so then I added for their future spouse, because that is always something that's on your heart too as you're praying. But we are praying especially for their salvation. We as parents can control what they eat. We can control what our children wear. We can control how much screen time that they get, whose house that they're playing at, what sports and activities that we put them into. But you know something we can't control? We can't control their thoughts. We can't control their will. We can't control their emotions. We can't convict them of sin. We can point it out. We can lead them to seeing it, but it's only truly the Holy Spirit that can convict them of that. So what Bob and I purpose was to pray for our children to come to know the Lord very young, because whenever they do, and they do know the Lord, then you've got, it's like there's a third parent in the room, only this one's God, and he's working on them from the inside out. And he's the one that can convict them. Now as we look back at our kids, he was very gracious in answering that prayer for us. But he doesn't always answer the while they are young for everybody. He's going to answer in his good time and how he wants to do it. But it's so important to leave that to the Lord when he calls your children to himself. It's so important for us moms not to prompt our children into confessing something that they're not truly feeling in their heart, that the Holy Spirit is not initiating for them. I just listened a couple of weeks ago to a podcast, and Kay Arthur of Precept Ministries was talking, and her son David was on there, and she talked about, now this is Kay Arthur, she knows the Bible inside out, she's like a, you know, modern day saint. And she's saying, no, she never asked her children to accept the Lord. But instead, she trusted that through her prayers that the Lord would work, and one day he would call them to himself and present that opportunity. And so David was in Christian school. He'd actually preached a sermon, but he wasn't a believer. And it was in high school later on that he says, and the Lord initiated that, and that he asked the Lord then to be his Savior. So I think, moms, just that we can kind of step back and let the Lord handle that. For my kids, it's really funny how it turned out. Katie was 5 years old, and we were at a gas station. She can tell you which one it was in Maryland Heights, Missouri, where we were at the time. She was like, is that Phillips 66 on Dorset Road? And all of a sudden, I hear from the back of the van, Mom, I just asked Jesus into my heart. I'm like, well, wait till your dad gets back. Well, let's do this again. You know, and had her explain it to me, and she had all the answers and everything. My son John, it was after we had been reading the Dangerous Journey, which is a children's version of Pilgrim's Progress, and everybody was in bed, and I heard from the top bunk, Mom, Mom. I go into his room, and he goes, how do I get to the Celestial City? How can I go to the Celestial City? So we talked about it, and he understood. And my son Stephen, he's funny, because he was young. The other two had already accepted the Lord, and he comes stomping down the stairs one night. Everybody's in bed. I can still see the pajamas he's wearing. And he's got his hands on his hips, and he looks at me and goes, why won't you let me accept Jesus? And he had been talking to us about the Lord for a long time, but because he was so young and because we didn't want him just to follow in their steps, we were really holding off. But sure enough, we were like, okay, this is, you know, do you? And we questioned him, and he understood, and he asked the Lord into his heart. And then we waited a while to see that fruit, and then they were baptized. And sure enough, and not they're perfect, believe me, we've had our times, but they're all grown, and they are adults, and they're functioning, but they're also found places of service for the Lord. So that's pretty much it. For me, I'd say trust the Lord with the salvation of your children, and pray for your kids. And that's what I think that is so important to purpose as a parent. We purposed a lot of things for our kids. We purpose for them to how to make an apology, always look an adult, you know, in the eye, never call people names. You know, there were certain things that were very important around our home. But as far as Bob and I, and keeping them safe and growing them up and making sure that they could go out in the world, it was prayer for them that we purposed in our hearts. So it sounds pretty simple, but I found myself getting in the way. As children begin to grow, and as I began to grow, I could see it in a lot of ways that parenting brought out the best in me. I began to do things I never thought I could do, like go nights with practically no sleep and go through the next day, to get out of bed whenever that one hits, he's sick and you know he needs you, and yet you are just in that deepest part of sleep. That sacrificial, I'll do anything for my child. Those kind of things, that's just something God has planted in our mom's hearts. That's beautiful to see. I also found myself being creative in ways that I'd never been before. When they were little and they're learning their shapes and their numbers, I could coordinate the meals with the colors, with the shapes, with the stories, with the letters. You know, it was fun. I really enjoyed that part. But there was also a way that it brought out the worst in me. Now, I'm not talking that I was like Jekyll and Hyde or anything. It wasn't that scary. But I did see something come up in me that I'd never seen before, and that was anger. Really volcanic, lava spewing words, loud anger, hurt, ugliness. Now, growing up, I can't tell you I was ever really angry. I was the middle child. I got along with everybody. I was always making peace. I might connive and manipulate, but I really didn't have outbursts of anger. And so as this new, you know, mom, here I am, and you guys probably feel it. You're in those years where now they call it adulting. Isn't it interesting how we take a noun and we make it a verb and it's something new? But it's this adulting thing where, yeah, you have house payments and you're trying to get the utilities and there's finances, there's the pressures of marriage and keeping that fresh and strong and supporting your husband well. And then there's just all sorts of things in your life and trying to make friends and still trying to look as good as you did before you got pregnant. And, you know, the pressures that we put on ourselves. And then you kind of put into that little cocktail, just we're women, and so we have hormones. My husband used to say, he doesn't anymore, but I'm kind of past some of that, but he used to say he was never tempted to be unfaithful to me because he woke up to a new woman every morning. You know, you never know, but there was a certain 5 days of my month that I was totally psychotic. I believed everything I said at the time, but it was later I go back and say, that was ridiculous. All those things is going on in your life. But then your children, those sweet, wonderful, you have just spent 27 months of my life with something growing inside of me, right? And they're not behaving as beautifully as I think they should, or they're fighting with each other, or they didn't do what I asked them to do, or why in the world are you wearing that? You look ridiculous. All those kinds of things. And I could start that tension, you know, and then something would happen and I would snap. And either towards my husband or towards them, never towards neighbors or never at church, but it was in the home or in the car or the backyard, that these kinds of things would set me off and I just let it go, because I had always been told, you don't bottle things up, you gotta let it out. That's a healthy way to be, right? So I let it out, sure enough, but it was just like I felt better afterwards, but nobody else did. And it's this horrible thing of anger going on in my life. Well, James has something to say about our anger. But first of all, let me show you some pictures. This is my kids whenever I was the perfect mom. However, if you look very closely, those are SpaghettiOs in the bowl and Hershey syrup to be used at will on the table for the chocolate milk. There is an apple core next to Katie's plate, so I was kind of, okay, not so bad. You will come to it. There will be years where you will wonder how you're going to get every child to every place that they need to be at the very same time, to have games on the same day, and they're all in different places, and dad's out of town. It's a trick, but you can do it. Or just the fun that we've had as they've gotten older, and we're able to do more fun things with each other. But let's go back to the things that made me angry, that anger part. James, who grew up in the same house as Jesus, okay, son of Mary and Joseph, wrote this. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How do you think James knew about anger? But sure enough, it doesn't produce righteousness. I was so afraid after I'd have a bout of anger, I would think that I have just crushed my child and someday they're going to be flat on a counselor's couch sharing them with this horrible stories about their mother. And so I would pray these prayers then afterwards. Lord, please just send an eraser and wipe that out of their minds. I don't want them to be that way. I don't want them to understand and to see me that way. Forgive me, God. And then there was also, do you all have that one child? Now, some of you are just on your first. You don't understand. But there will be one. There will be one that will show you just how crazy you are. And my middle child, I never saw him angry after he was maybe 3 or 4. He was he just calm, pleasant. He's just the nicest guy to be around. And I remember he'd done something. It doesn't mean he behaved well. And I remember he had done something that just totally tripped my trigger, probably along with a bunch of other stuff. And I remember going into his bedroom, and have you ever felt those moments where your eyes, the sparks are coming out of them? You know that they're coming out of them, and your hair is probably standing on end. And I looked at him, and I just let him have it. And he didn't move a muscle. And he's looking at me, and he says this, "Mom, do you think we can discuss this again whenever you're more calm?" So, when you're more calm, ladies, and you goof in front of your children, always make sure that you apologize. That was one of the things that we purposed. And in our family, apologies have three parts. You first of all say that you were wrong. You admit that you were wrong. I'm sorry. Well, no, first of all you say, "I'm sorry for fill in the blank." Okay. The reason why I said this second one is because it's the hardest thing to do. Then you say that you were wrong. So you name it and you claim it. And then you say, "And I'll try not to do that again." Now, sometimes things are a mistake. You really didn't mean to. So in that case, we'd say, "I'm sorry for," name it, "I didn't mean to do that," and then "I'll try." You can never promise you won't do it again, but you can promise that you'll try, a good, sincere try. And if you want to keep the walls from building up among your children and your family, make sure they apologize. I grew up in the generation of those Dr. Spock babies, and my parents, they just kind of laissez-faire, the kids will work it out, you know, and everything. The kids don't work it out. The kids build up walls and they find their friends in other places. And so even as Bob and I in our adult years, we're not as close to our siblings as we would have wanted to be because there were really true walls that have been built up and those relationships hadn't been built. So if you want your kids to be best friends, make sure that they learn how to apologize with each other. So it was about this time in my life that I began to be involved in something that I believe should be a part of every woman's life, and that is good Bible study. And I was involved in a women's Bible studies that I can never tell you how important they were for me. I was learning from other women who were farther along in the journey than me, and they opened up the Word to me. We shared in rich discussions. I was accountable to do my study on my own. And there was friendships and relationships that were made. And during that time, two things became apparent to me. One, we were studying the book of Romans, and I was assigned to teach chapter 6 of Romans to this Bible study group. Now remember, this issue I'm having happens inside my house, inside the van, in the backyard. These Bible study ladies have never seen it. But it was while I was there, and I was that day trying to write this teaching, and I had the Bible in front of me, and I just was getting nowhere in the book of Romans. Now, if you've ever read Romans 6, you'll see that this word is written all over it, and it's the word slave or slavery. Now, we in America, and even now, I think we have to take that word and sort of take away some of the things that we think about it in order to get into what Paul was trying to say. But his word for doulos there, it says, one whose will is swallowed up in another. So he's saying you're either a slave of Satan or you're a slave of righteousness. Okay, you are one or the other. Christ's death bought us the right to be a slave of righteousness rather than a slave of sin. And so what I found, whenever I was being angry, my will was swallowed up in my emotions, and I was behaving as if I was a slave of sin, as if I was a slave of evil. I was doing exactly what Satan wanted me to do in that situation. But instead, Christ wanted my will to be swallowed up in His sweet goodwill, for me to be a slave of righteousness. And so as I was working through that and trying to see what that would be like, my husband explained to me that when you're a slave of righteousness, you are being all that God created you to be, and then it's Him, and even better, because He's living through you. And he said, I remember him saying to me, Karen, look outside. We had, at that time, a wonderful dog. His name was Scout. He was a black and tan English cocker. English cockers are bred, and they are to flush out game. And they love chasing birds and running across fields. And when they do, they get all wiggly, and their long ears just flop, and their tongue flaps out, and they're just joy. They're just joy to watch. They're doing what they were created to do. And he said, that's what it's like whenever you're a slave of righteousness. You are doing all you were created to do, and that joy that is there to being that slave, instead of being swallowed up in being a slave to the sin. Romans 6, 16 to 18. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin, that's how you were, you couldn't help it, okay, have become obedient from the heart. Remember that. To the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, we now have become slaves of righteousness. So then the second thing happened. I recently, at that time, was exposed to a verse that was new to me. Now, for many of you, this verse may be something that you've heard many times in devotions. I hadn't ever heard it before, and it really struck a chord. I was at a retreat for the leaders of my Bible study, and some of our national leaders came in, and one of these dear ladies shared a devotion on this verse. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. I wanted to have springs of life flowing towards my children and towards my husband to bring life into situations, but my anger was bringing hurt and destruction. This is what I wanted. So what did I need to do? I needed to begin to tend my heart. Kind of like a garden. Think of it that way. To guard it, to keep my heart. Tend it. You can weed a garden. I could get rid of those unwholesome thoughts and emotions whenever I just started kind of really allowing those anger triggers to take root and bubble and simmer in there. I could weed that out. I could prune it. I could cut off the habits that weren't healthy, where I let myself get into situations, or where I took those pictures and I played them out in my mind, what things would, that weren't even reality, how things would play out, and that made me angry. And then feed it and water it with scripture and time spent in prayer. So one of the things I did was go back to these cards, and I realized I didn't need to just pray these for my children. I need to pray this for myself and for my husband, for our family. And then I added to the back specific things that Bob and I needed to work through that were good for us in our marriage. And then I would, so every day I would pray that, and then I would look on the back, pray that. You know, it's funny, I had forgotten about these for a few years and had been stuck in a drawer next to my bed. And since I've begun preparing this again, I pulled these cards out, and it's been such a blessing to me to just kind of be purposeful about praying, still for my children, hopefully grandchildren someday, and also for our marriage. So I began to see things then change in my heart. It wasn't overnight, but I began to see things because the Spirit began to work and bring about His fruit in this garden of my heart as only He can. You know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And He began to work that out. Now I want you to notice something. I heard the other day someone saying that they were really working on the fruits of the Spirit. This is a young woman, really working on them, and that she was decided that she couldn't work on them all at one time, so she's going to work on one at a time. And when she started to see, say, love in her life, then she'd move on to joy and so forth. Do you know what? Whose fruit is that? It's the Spirit's, isn't it? It's not your fruit. You can't make it happen. You can't say, oh, I'm going to be more loving today. It just doesn't bubble up like that. Not truly from the inside, but you can allow the Spirit. And as He begins to have more control of you and your will, then He begins to work these things out in your life. And I want you to know something else about that. How many fruits does that say that are there? One, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me explain that. Take a strawberry. If I was going to describe a strawberry to you, I'd say it's red. Sometimes they're shiny when they're fresh, right? It's juicy. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's tart. All of those words describe that strawberry. All of these words describe the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit's working in you, you'll see it come out as peace and patience and kindness and goodness, and they'll all begin working together. That's what the Spirit does in you. It's a big word called sanctification, and the wonderful thing is we can all admit that we're not there yet. Nobody's there yet, but the trajectory of your life can change when you commit to allowing the Spirit to work in your life and being obedient to Him and a slave for righteousness. It's probably several years later, we moved to Indiana, and the kids were starting high school, and I realized I hadn't had a major blowout of anger in a long time. I wasn't cured of it, but I wasn't totally, it had lessened in my life. What had happened? As the Spirit began to work in my life and I began to concentrate more on that than the frustrations of my life and that my picture of my kids and that all that wasn't the way I wanted it to be, instead concentrated on the Lord and tending my own heart, He began to work in me. I've gone back before I talked to my kids before I gave this talk to them. I actually shared with them what I've been praying all those years. They hadn't known, so that was a real sweet moment to talk with them about it. And I said, you know, do you remember those times when I was just so ugly to you? And they kind of looked at me like, no, not really. That's the Spirit. That's a miracle. That's just a miracle that that's the way it happened. What about your heart? What are you swallowed up in? You may not have a problem with anger at all, but you may be as bitter as all get out. Or you may have some other issue going on. Or maybe it's covetousness. You know, you and your husband, you're not financially where this other couple is, and you want those things. Maybe there's all kinds of things that where you're dissatisfied, you're not content, or what's going on in your heart that's actually holding you back from being the kind of mom that you're purposely, and person, that you're purposely praying for your children to be. Parenting is like a mirror. You're going to see yourself and your kids for the good and for the bad, because parenting is going to reveal your heart to you. So parent with a purpose, to pray for your children and pray for their hearts, but also don't forget to purpose to pray for God to work in your own heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You. Oh, what a privilege. I just stand up here. It's just totally by Your grace. It's just totally Your grace. Thank You for walking me through those years. Thank You for the blessed gift of motherhood and my children, Your children. Lord, I pray, dear Father, that You will bless these young moms. Oh, they have such wonderful years ahead of them. Bless their moments as they go home this afternoon and they get to hold their children and hug on them and love on them. Lord, I pray that You will cause them to be women of righteousness in their homes, because they are Your child and they have chosen to be Your slave, Your doulas. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Master, our good and loving great Master. Amen.